and welcome to Beheaded.
This is Season 5, Episode 10.
I'm Megan Moore.
And I'm Elizabeth Black.
We're here.
You made it over.
We're back.
Ask Megan why this took so long.
Multiple reasons. Primarily, we, last episode, Elizabeth was a little snuffly. Complete allergies, though. You weren't sick.
I wasn't sick at all. I was purely just like runny nose, stuffy nose
allergies. I got full on sick.
Yeah.
I was like out for, gosh, I don't know how many. I started drawing lines on the wall of like counting the days on the couch.
4 score and 7 years ago.
Felt like forever. You know when you're sick and you're just like watching a show or TV and you're like, oh, they take for granted how healthy they are, just walking through the park outside. And I just had a bad cold.
Yeah.
Just it took me out.
It is true when you're sick, you have this weird feeling of like you're never going to get better. Like you wonder what it felt like to even be healthy because you're that sick.
I always think about how I just took it for granted. Like you just, you know, you breathe and you don't have a sore throat and your head is clear. And I'm like, wow, I really just took advantage of that. I didn't appreciate every day that I just walked the earth in perfect health.
And then as soon as you're healthy, you just don't give a shit anymore either.
Yeah, no, I'm on. So if I'm the one nasally this time, I apologize. There might be some breaks for some nose blows and honkers.
That's okay. You know, you supported me last time. I support you this time.
Thank you.
I hope you don't get me sick and we just continue this throughout the season.
Thing. I mean, I did have very guilt-free. I had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, guilt-free, like, I finished a book, binge-watched TV, I watched, like, 3 series.
Hey.
And it was actually kind of great because my husband and I were sick at the same time. And it was almost a joke because he was, every symptom he had it 2 hours before me.
Right.
And then he was like, I feel fine. I feel better. I'm like, well, I don't. And then 2 hours later, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
We had the same exact thing with the same timeline. So we were just sick together. We just laid on the couch together, argued over the remote together. We ordered pizza and Thai food. We were just disgusting.
And who took care of who?
We were very, whoever was up, whoever got their like aching body off the couch, or it was like, do you need water? Like we kind of helped each other out. We had like trash cans with our tissues around. And I felt kind of like if you have siblings and when you got sick with your sibling and your mom would just, you know, if you have like couches that go in an L shape and one was on one end and one was on the other.
Oh.
And I don't know.
Did you never experienced that. I had cousins. So I guess we did something similar.
Yeah.
But no siblings.
Like if I got sick with my sister, you know, we would just like lay on the couch together. Oh. That's what Jake and I did. It was kind of nice. It was just, you know, when you binge watch shows and you eat bad food and you order takeout, you just like kind of feel gross. It's guilt-free.
It's a little pity party that you're having together.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's cool. We can't go out. We can't go grocery shopping. I don't want to cook dinner. So right. Let's just get pizza and Thai food.
That's fair. And we had pizza tonight again. You're welcome.
That pizza was way better.
Yeah, that's good pizza,
right? Just had some, like, basic, like, commercial brand.
Pizza Hut? No free ads?
Might have been Domino's.
No free ads.
Pizza Hut's better.
Ew, are you serious? You're kidding me.
Than Domino's?
Yeah.
I thought you... Oh, you like Papa John's.
Papa John's,
that's
man.
What I'm thinking. Papa
that's
John's.
The one. Again, that's no yours. Free ads, but if we had to rank them, Papa John's, 1A. Domino's. I don't even know if
oh,
I
no,
give it
a
1B.
Oh, no, I did have Domino's. It wasn't Pizza Hut. It was Domino's.
That's what you said.
I'm on Sudafed. I don't even... This is going to be a fun episode.
I'm a little concerned. We're gonna take it real slow with Megan. We're going to let her do her talking. We're not going to interrupt.
My head feels soft.
Okay.
Feels like a blanket.
Keep going. I just want to see what you're going to say next.
Feels like my nose went into some slippers.
All right. Well, I'm going to take over now. I was not sick. I got over my illness from last time. Again, just allergies. But then I did go to Denver. I had a little trip to the mountains. So flew into Denver, saw a little bit of my family from there. And then we went up to like Silverthorne, Frisco area, if anyone knows the Colorado Rockies.
No idea.
Okay, well.
That sounds nice.
Beautiful country. Yeah. And I skied for the first time. So I grew up in Colorado, and I snowboarded in like high school, but I never really knew what I was doing. It was more like your friends take you and you figure it out. And I was never great at it, but it was fun. And I was like, as an adult, I'm going to like learn how to ski. I'm going to figure it out.
As a 35-year-old woman, you're like, now is the time to break my bones.
Absolutely. Kidding? You know, I feel so chic in my little ski suit, my skis and my poles.
Your ski outfit was really cute. Thank you. You look like
a Bond girl, because that was what I was going for.
Kind of.
Good. Thank you.
I felt like you were, you could have belonged in like the cool group. No, not the cool group.
fuck you.
Okay, like, remember, like, Johnny Tsunami? Like, a Disney original show, but you were, like, the prep school group.
I like that.
That's what you were emanating. So that's not a word. Emanating.
Sudafed.
Oh, this is gonna be
emitting.
Fun. Emitting.
Yeah.
The pep girl Disney original.
I love that. Show. I'm like the kid villain of a, sports movie.
Like a spy
movie.
Kid movie.
I'll take it, man. I'll take it any day. So did that. I even did like ski school, like took lessons, which
ski
was
school.
Great. Yeah.
Ski school.
And God, Megan. you'll be fine tonight.
This is great.
Anyway, didn't break any bones, was fine, didn't tear an ACL, that was the goal. Fell a few times, no big deal.
That's part of it, you have to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it powdery? How was the snow?
We had snow the night before, so the morning was really soft and fluffy.
Okay.
But by the time I got to like a little bit more of an advanced area, for me at least, it was like pretty damn icy. So I was getting a little nervous towards the end of the day because I couldn't even like stop. I couldn't stop on my skis.
Yeah, that's a key. That's what they teach you in ski school.
Well, I know I could stop. I could stop in ski school, but once I got on a real mountain, I was like, oh my God.
The snow is different up here.
So anyway, I do like it. I do want to go more often. In Arizona, we have mountains up north.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to spend more time up there next season and like figure it out.
That'd be fun. That'd be a fun little trip.
Yeah. So if you ever want to go.
I don't want to, but
thanks, Megan.
Jake loves to snowboard.
I'm gonna go snowboarding with Jake.
I mean, you can go with my husband. I don't care.
Robbie actually figured it out too. It was his first time skiing. He didn't go to ski school and just like did it.
You guys are so annoying like that.
Piss me off.
Yeah, I feel you. That pisses me off too.
He was like escorting me down my first mountain. He's like, oh, you got this. He's like going backwards. I'm like, what the fuck? You just learned this.
I'm going roller skating next weekend, and I do have a pair of vintage roller skates, and what? I've been practicing. What? Not this past
Why?
Week.
Why are you going roller skating?
I have a friend. Her name rhymes with Shmishma. Shmisa.
Oh my God. You're friends with Yzma?
Lisa.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're doing like a couples skate night. Like her husband and Jake and me.
Like a skating rink?
At the Botanical Gardens. They're doing like a adult night, evening skate night.
That's cuter.
Yeah.
It's you guys going to where middle schoolers hang out.
It's like a retro night of like nighttime
adult
like skating. So I've been, before I got sick, I've been practicing my roller skates and I've been going around my neighborhood.
Is it easy? Like, can you pick it up again?
Yeah. I haven't fallen yet, but I want to get better at going backwards. So I think to do that, I think I need to get some like wrist pads to make myself feel more confident because I'm getting decrepit after this cold. Like, everything hurts.
You'll never be healthy again.
I don't think I will be. I don't think my back will be the same.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm not into skiing, but I like skating.
Yeah.
Is that similar?
I mean, it involves balance, and you can potentially die over the age of 35. So, yeah, I guess it's the same. It's fine.
I mean, so like I said, all I've been doing is watching shows. There's been some really good ones out there.
Okay.
Kind of up our alley. There's a new Holocaust, themed show on Hulu. That one was good. But what I wanted to mention, though, what was cool is I was watching a few shows on Disney. Renegade Nell and a couple others. Anyways, so much of it is filmed at Hampton Court Palace.
Ooh.
And that was fun.
That's dope.
So I was like sitting there just like, oh, I've been there. And you know.
I'll never be healthy again and never go to Hampton Court again.
I'm never going to be able to travel ever again. Those were the beautiful days of my life behind me. So you've been skiing and I've been binge watching and
here we are.
And we're alive. We're
finally back together. It took us a long time to get back here, so thank you for being patient with us.
Yeah.
But I will say Megan being sick was super helpful because she like was posting tons and tons of content. We've been better about that, we as in Megan, for the last like month and a half. So thank you, Megan. She's been like blowing up our Instagram, putting out a lot of reels.
One a day. I've been trying.
We are super happy to announce, not announce, but like a lot of them are doing really well, getting like hundreds and thousands of views. But we have one that's literally about to hit a million.
I don't get the algorithm. I don't get why it's like that one.
You don't need to know.
Who something cares? Triggered. And it just, I get why the term is viral, like because it spreads. And the more people that are commenting and liking it. So it's kind of like this joke, like Elizabeth and I are trying to like, you know, gather our nose and eat pizza tonight and whatever. And we're so tempted to look. I'm like, no, I don't want to like get obsessed and keep looking.
It's cool.
Every 10 minutes, we have another like 30,000 views on it.
It's
like,
wild.
Is this what fame feels like?
Yeah, this is exactly what fame feels like. Oh, be ready, man. Megan.
It's addictive. A little, I get it. Like, I just feel loved. Thank you for liking my lock video.
Like you said, I like it because it's something that just came out of nowhere. It's not like we like calculated it and really thought long and hard about how to make this happen. It was like, hey, we're just doing what we do. It's a lot of our own content that we had in London.
Yeah, it was just little clips that we grabbed while we were there. And
like, but I want to like emphasize that none of it is like stuff you just found online.
No, there like, are
it's all,
it's
all our original our, videos.
Even like, even like the video of the forest that was in England. Mm-hmm. Like all of it is just random little video clips we have on our own phones. But I've just been, you know, trying to be diligent with that. So I appreciate everyone. And if you're new and you're listening because of one of those,
welcome.
I never really caught on to the big, like we've always said we weren't good at social media. And that's been my 2024 goal is to change that.
Yeah. You're doing awesome.
Thanks. Evidently people follow. Like locks. We just post more videos of a lock and people lose their fucking minds over it. I don't know. The comment section is wild. It's so entertaining. I love hearing from people who think that I was in England yesterday and like I saw you filming. I'm like, thank you.
Just say yes.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
No, I truly actually do, especially when I was just laying on the couch decrepit. I had a lot of fun just chatting with random people and commenting back. And you know, one person like didn't believe the lock was real. She's like, bull crap.
Yeah.
And then it's so funny to see people counteract and come in there like, do your research. I'm like, yeah, do your research. But anyways, I love not just for our content, for any content. We said that last episode too. The comments, people just go freaking off the hook.
Shush. I never read those, but now I'm kind of getting pulled in.
It's
so
hilarious. It's interesting. Some of them are fun. Anyway. Anywho, well, I'm glad to be here. Snot and all.
Welcome.
Thank you for having
Pat
me
on the
into
back,
your
Megan.
Lovely home.
Absolutely. I'm glad you were here with some champs and some red wine.
On the Sudafed, you're really making me seem like I'm
not sure I should let you drive home.
A responsible adult here.
Anyway, speaking of female duos, we have a really good episode tonight
good
for you all.
Because we're a female duo.
That's what I was going for.
I understand.
Yeah. Yes. Power couple, if you will, who have like, you know, a million plus views on our reels. No big deal.
We haven't had a duo execution this season, have we?
That's a great question. You're making me think now. You put me on the spot now. We've had a lot of duo executions.
We had like, didn't Jack Rackham go down with someone and
you can't put me on the spot like this.
William Burroughs had a
who were the lovers? The lovers.
Oh, Alice and her boyfriend.
Alice and Alice's boyfriend. Anyway, we're not going to get into that. We don't know.
We don't have a lot of duos, but tonight's a duo episode.
Yes, and these two ladies are known as the Black Widows of Liverpool. So it's a really fascinating story. We're set in like the late 1800s, which is, if you're an American, it's more like the Gilded Age of America. But in this era, a lot going on in Liverpool. So I'll go ahead and just like kind of jump into who these sisters were and how they got their names. Mm. Yeah. So we have two sisters, right? Catherine Flanagan and Margaret Flanagan. They're both Irish, I believe born and raised in Ireland. And around this time in like the mid, I'd say 1800s, we'll say 1840s. Mm-hmm. That's when, if you know history, like what's going on in Ireland at this time, it's a great famine.
I know history.
Yeah.
It's potatoes. The potato famine. Potatoes.
Exactly.
The potatoes were an issue.
Yes. So a lot of people had to leave Ireland because of the famine. And so one of the biggest places people kind of fled to was Liverpool, because mm-hmm. it's not too far away. And Liverpool is a port city in England. Or not England. What's actually...
Yeah, it's England.
Is it England?
Yeah,
I know
of
it's
course.
Like the mainland, but is it England? It's like not.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll believe
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
I don't know my geography that well over there. Mm-hmm. So Liverpool's a port city. And at this point in time, so many people like came to Liverpool that about 25% of the population was Irish.
It's kind of a gross name. Yeah. You know when you kind of keep thinking of a word and you kind of break
Long
it down?
Enough. Yeah.
Liver and a pool of liver juice.
Oh, God.
If you're from Liverpool, I'm really sorry, but that's...
We just lost so many listeners.
And that million views just dropped.
That's
no,
fine.
I just like... Okay, am I crazy? The Beatles are from Liverpool.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Because they have that Liverpudlian accent. Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
A pud?
Lost 100 more.
We're embarrassing ourselves. Continue.
Anyway, I know that in the movie, like, Across the Universe, which is supposed to have all the, like, Beatles songs.
We like historical. We
It's an artistic movie. It's fine.
The 1960s isn't really our forte. We apologize. We are into old history.
Not the Beatles mania. It's yeah. fine.
But in that one movie, Across the Universe.
Yeah. I was just saying that's like, the main character's from Liverpool. So
yeah.
I assume the
and
Beatles
And it's a port city.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's docks. And it was a lot of people coming in and out.
Thank you, Megan. Excellent analysis.
And this episode has been brought to you by Sudafed and champagne. Andres, to
no,
be exact.
No, let's not say the brand of champagne. Okay, so back to our sisters. So Catherine and Margaret, they're a little bit of an age gap in between them. So Catherine was born in 1829, so she's the older sister, and Margaret was born in 1843. So what is that, like 14 years
that's
later?
Gap.
That's a pretty big gap
yeah.
for them. But they're very close sisters. Again, they both come to Liverpool when they're fairly young. And remember that like at this point in time with like Liverpool being a dock city, being full of so many... I guess, migrants.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, a great place to be if you're not wealthy.
Mm.
So there's a lot of slum areas, like, heavy drinkers that are working at the docks. It's just an area where it's just, you know, it's you don't have a ton of options. You don't have a ton
grimy.
Of resources.
It's a little pooly
grimy.
With the liver juice.
Stop saying that, man.
Okay.
So, but Catherine is, being the older sister, I think, she's really, like, determined to make something of her life in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So what she does is, because it's a heavy drinking town, the first thing that she does is she, like, opens a beer house when she's, it doesn't say an age, but I assume she's a bit, like, I don't know. Maybe 20s or 30s when she's doing this.
Smart.
Yeah, and it goes really well. She's even selling alcohol on, like, Sundays, which she's totally not allowed to do because it's Catholic.
Yeah,
and,
she's Irish,
you know,
though.
Yeah, and, like, people need their drink on a Sunday.
Yeah, I get it.
So she really does well on this until, I think, the crown kind of cracks down on liquor laws, and she eventually knows she has to move on from this because she's going to, you know, put her business at risk. But what she does next is then she becomes, like, a moneylender. So she, you know, she herself, again, has done what she can with her money. So she has enough stored away to have some sort of, like, you know, credibility to her name. So what she does is she, like, goes to more reputable lenders, borrows a bunch of money, and then she loans out tiny sums to her neighbors who are, like, in the slum areas. And, you know, she charges, like, very reasonable interest rates, but enough to really, like, make money herself. So she's helping the community because she's giving people that would otherwise be denied for loans, you know, some sort of like, financial help. And she's making money on top of it. So she's sitting here, like, you know, had a beer house, didn't quite work out, you know, is now lending money. And that went pretty well for a while. But then she knew she wanted to get back into, like, the hospitality business, we'll mm-hmm. call it. And, you know, with the beer house thing not super super great the first time, she decides, well, let's just have a regular, like, lodging house where they're just going to, you know, have a little place with tenants. So she invites her sister Margaret to help her. So Margaret is now helping her in the household. And it's a small household. It's not like, it's not a motel. It's not like...
It's a boarding house.
It's, yeah, it's not an Airbnb with 10 rooms. It's a boarding house.
For those who grew up in the 90s and watched Hey Arnold.
Oh, how funny. You mentioned this. Yes. I didn't pick up on that when I was a kid.
That's I don't know why that's where my brain went, but yeah, Arnold's grandparents ran a boarding house, and there was quite an eclectic group of adult individuals, but they rented out the individual rooms, but then there was common space areas for the kitchen and bathrooms and living room and all of that. It's a house, but right. You pay, it's a bunch of roommates, adult roommates, I guess you can say.
So they pay per room, but they share common spaces. Hey Arnold, if you don't know, it's like an American TV show cartoon.
In the 90s on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Which.
Ooh, canceled.
Oh, God. Another
one. We won't get into that.
I know, but I binge watched that one as well. Oh, for those who know what I'm saying.
Don't get into that.
Right. I won't. I won't go on that tangent right now.
So they ran this rooming house that is on 5th Skirving Street in Liverpool, and they have a small household. So the household consists of the two sisters, Catherine and Margaret, Catherine's son, John, who at this point is like 22, he's very much like an adult man, and then they have two lodger families, and both families are like fathers and daughters. So one family is Thomas Higgins and his daughter, Mary. She's a young child. And then the other family is Patrick Jennings and his daughter, Margaret, who's like a teenager.
Disclosure, there's a lot of Margarets in this story.
I know.
And I don't know this why. Happens... It's a very Irish name.
I think it's just Catholic name.
We
you
can
know.
Call the little one Maggie, if that helps.
Well, she's a teenager, but yeah.
Oh. The daughter, whatever.
Yeah, there's two daughters, Mary and Maggie.
I got curious and I looked up 5 Skirving Lane, Liverpool, England on Google Maps.
Oh, good for you.
And it's right on the docks. Like you can, because you know, you can do the like look around in Google Maps.
Yeah.
And you can see that there's still a working port there and it's right on the water. Mm. And there are current residences, 10 Skirving Lane. If you live there. That is, it looks like, just kidding. Can you imagine? They're like, why are you saying my address on a podcast? But it's kind of funny because number 5 is just this overgrown empty lot. It's right at the corner.
Oh, nothing's there.
If you're curious, Google 5 Skirving Lane.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just this overgrown lot. And I really want to know what happened. It looks like very clearly there was a house there. It got torn down. And it's just... bush and garbage, like it's
beautiful, Megan.
It's just an overgrown lot. I want to know what happened, and can we buy that lot?
Oh, maybe.
And build on top of it.
You think it's cheap right now?
Might be. Oh. There's a big billboard for an egg in front of it.
It's beautiful.
It's like a billboard for eggs is facing.
Well, if anyone has any information about said lot, Megan and I are looking for some...
We're in the market.
A plot of land.
We're in the market, evidently, for some real estate in Liverpool.
So that's essentially a snapshot of what's going on in this household at the time. But just when we think like, oh, Catherine's got it figured out, she's making money, she's doing well, shit starts to get weird.
Oh, so there's 7 people in the household. Yes. There's the two sisters, her son, the two dads, and they each have a daughter.
Yes.
So John is Catherine's son. Mm-hmm. He's 22 years old, and the year is 1880.
Yes.
And he's like overall a pretty healthy and robust young man. For whatever reason, Catherine has put this image out that he was unhealthy, but there was no evidence that would indicate that. Mm-hmm. Everyone else would say, yeah, he's a normal 22-year-old young man, and he seems healthy.
Right.
He dies very mysteriously and very suddenly. Really no cause. But there wasn't a lot of suspicion around it.
Sure.
Again, Liverpool was not the safest, healthiest, most wealthiest of places.
Right.
There's a lot of death going around.
Right.
When you're working out in the docks all day, heavy drinking...
Not a lot of hygiene.
Disease is coming around. Yeah, disease floats around. And folks are coming over from Ireland when there was the famine happening. I mean, this was years later. But still, there's just this overall presumption that, you know, shit goes down. And not a lot of people cared, which is sad. And
right.
Maybe that happens today as well. When you're kind of in the lower, it's sad, right? Like,
right.
There's not a big microscope of what's happening if people are just
unfortunately, it's to be expected
dying.
In some places.
Yeah, yeah. They're, you know, so that happened. And what results from that is Catherine collects payment.
Mm.
And I'm going to explain what this is. So back in 1880 in England, there was something called the Burial Society. Mm-hmm. It was basically a non-profit organization that provided money and funds to help cover funeral expenses and the cost of death.
Right.
Basically, it was life insurance. And it's what we have nowadays where you have to pay into it mm-hmm. and you have an insurance number on your head. But back then, it was a non-profit organization that handed out benefits to people if someone had died.
Yeah.
Never heard of this before.
I know. Certainly not. It's certainly for profit today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's almost interesting to me because back then you would think even more so it was like, I don't care. Get this body out of here.
Sure.
It's kind of generous that they would give money if a loved one died like that suddenly.
Mm-hmm. And one YouTube video we watched said something along the lines of like, you know, yes, they were living in these like not ideal conditions, but they didn't want to have a pauper's death. Like they didn't want to die like they had nothing. They wanted some dignity in death, you know.
Which is fair. Pretty and beautiful. You know what? Funerals are not cheap. I think almost everyone can attest to that at some point.
Yeah.
I remember my grandparents got their coffins at Costco for a really good deal. But coffins are expensive.
Yeah.
Funerals themselves are very expensive.
It's expensive to die. Don't do it.
So Catherine collects 71 pounds for her son's death.
Mm-hmm.
In converting that, in 2019, 71 pounds in 1880 in 2019, and I know that's a random number. I get it. We're in 2024. I'm just lazy, and I got what I was reading from the article that was made.
You didn't do the actual conversion?
I didn't do the actual conversions of in 2024. But in 2019, actually, that'd be funny. I'm sure it's very different now with inflation.
I was going to say, that's nothing now.
It was 7,120 pounds.
That's a lot.
That's, I mean, especially if you're coming from, you know, the shambles. It's pretty good.
And adjusting for inflation of today.
And you can imagine Catherine gets dollar signs in her eyeballs.
Spinning.
Like, I picture Scrooge McDuck just like,
exactly what happened.
Hmm. Fast forward a couple years. Let's not forget about Margaret. Margaret's the younger sister of Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
About 15 years her junior. And Margaret falls in love with one of the tenants, Thomas Higgins.
Yes.
Thomas Higgins has the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Mary. She's about 8 years old. Margaret and Thomas fell in love pretty quickly, and perhaps it's a sign of the times. They got married within the same year.
Mm-hmm.
And just months after they got married, in October of 1882,
mm-hmm.
Mary dies mysteriously.
Little Mary at 8 years old.
Little, it's kind of sad, right? 8 years old.
Yeah.
No cause?
Not really.
No reason.
No one looked into it.
She was healthy one day.
Yep.
Bouncing around in her pigtails.
Oh, Mary.
Playing in the docks.
And who collected burial payment for that?
Margaret.
Yeah.
The new stepmom.
Exactly.
She gets a payout.
Tale as old as time.
1 year later, it gets worse. So there were seven people in the household. We're down to five.
Yes.
1883, a year later,
mm-hmm.
Margaret Jennings, the daughter of the other tenant, Patrick Jennings.
Right.
She's 19 years old, has her whole life ahead of her, out for her, the love of her life, waiting.
You're just making up stories about her life.
She might have a job in the pub, and she's waiting for her Prince Charming to come along.
She's like a barkeep maiden.
She's got great boobs.
Oh my God.
She's young. She's fair.
Beautiful flowing locks.
Yep. Redhead, I imagine.
Oh, sure.
Beautiful. She dies. Mysteriously.
Mm.
Suspiciously, one might say.
Mm. At this point, it becomes suspicious.
It becomes suspicious. And what's weird,
mm-hmm.
Catherine got the payout from the Burial Society for Margaret Jennings.
Which I do not understand.
I don't understand.
Like, did she, you know...
How did she finagle that? She put it in her name somehow.
As, like, the landlady, perhaps?
As the owner of the woman. I don't know.
Maybe she advised Patrick to do it, the father, and then was like, hey, if anything happens to her, like, I'll collect since I've advised you to do this. Who knows?
Or, like, yeah, like, I've done this before. Let me just take the money. Like, let me do the paperwork for her. You know, no one likes paperwork, right?
Yeah.
She's done it a few times at this point now, and she's worked very closely with the Burial Society. She understands how it works.
You're taking a lot of creative liberty.
I am taking a lot of creative liberties. Please notate all of that.
The basic facts are there.
Sudafed.
That's okay. So at this point, they decide to move because whispers are happening in the community that all these deaths may or may not be related. Again, it's a small household, and yes, people do die in this, like, you know, slum area often, but not this often.
3 people in 3 years?
Yeah.
All mysteriously.
So there was these, like, whisperings around the community, so they finally decide, hey, like, let's move from this location. So they move twice really quickly. They move to 105 Latimer Street, and then to 27 Ascot Street.
I didn't look up those on Google Maps.
You didn't?
But I will.
Okay.
I love Google Maps.
Let us know what you find. You're going to find Pokemon?
What?
You know about that.
No, obviously.
Okay, just making sure.
Do they have them in Liverpool? I don't know. I thought that was an Arizona thing.
The Pokemon are worldwide.
Oh.
You didn't know that? No, my ski trip, we weirdly talked a lot about the Pokemon Go game, which I thought died like 10 years ago. Apparently, it's still a thing.
That was a weird time in our...
Remember that?
Yeah, that was weird.
Okay. Anyway, so tell us what happens next after they move.
Ooh, it's still me? Okay. After they move. So there were 7 people. Mm-hmm. We're down to 4. Mm-hmm. They move. So it's Catherine,
Margaret,
and Thomas. Margaret's husband.
Yes. Patrick, who knows?
Patrick was like, F you guys, you took my daughter's money and whatever.
I think he's still in the picture, but who knows?
Thomas Higgins comes down with a little bit of a stomachache.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts and he's in pain. They bring in Dr. Whitford and he owns it up to some cheap whiskey.
Yes.
He claims it's dysentery. Is that the word for it?
Dysentery.
Dysentery. What explain?
So if you've ever played Oregon Trail, you always die of dysentery.
Yeah.
Your character is always dead of dysentery. I looked it up because I actually wasn't sure what it was, and I might have to look it up again because I already forgot.
It's when you get the bottom extreme, shelf whiskey.
It's true. It's not about whiskey. But it's extreme dehydration. It's like you have like bloody bowels. Like your stomach's not okay. It's some sort of intestinal problem. But it can lead to death. Yes. Maybe cheap whiskey. Maybe bottom shelf whiskey. Mm. My first thought when I read that and how embarrassing is this is I was like, oh my God, I got to buy fancy whiskey now. Like I didn't think, I should stop drinking whiskey. My first thought was like, well, I can't buy cheap whiskey anymore.
Well, I remember when I turned 21 and, you know, you like buy your alcohol for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And I had no idea what I was buying, right? And I remember I was having some friends over. We decided we were going to try to make like Cosmos or something at my place.
Cosmos.
And I'm like, okay, here's all these like vodka options. I'm looking up top and there's Grey Goose Belvedere. I'm like, holy crap. And, you know, I'm poor and in college. I'm like, these are like $30, $40, $50 a bottle.
Yeah.
And then you look down and there's something called like UV label or like there was like a barcode. Like it was like weird. I was like,
wait, is this vodka or whiskey?
It was vodka.
Okay.
It's called like UV. It's on the bottom shelf. I'm like, this is only $4.99. Like, why would anyone pay for that when you can pay for this?
Smart.
And I thought I was like, these idiots.
Megan hacked the system.
At that time, you know, when like
dysentery.
you don't know anything really about alcohol and drinking, and I just thought vodka was vodka and alcohol was alcohol. I'm like, it's all gonna get you drunk. What's the difference? I'm sure so many of us, like, you know. Like Ed Sheeran in his song, he said, buy cheap spirits and drink them straight when, like, they were young, you know?
I mean,
and it's a mistake. Don't do that.
I shouldn't laugh at you because probably my entire 21st year, I drank, like, Long Island iced teas.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because I was like, oh, this is a cheap drink and it gets you so drunk so fast. So
if you hear any movement, there's a little puppy at our feet. So
sorry, he likes to make an appearance sometimes.
He's such a good boy.
He is. He's being very quiet, so
yeah.
It's okay.
You can stay there. It's fine.
You can stay
but,
there.
If
I don't
there's...
think he plans on moving.
Yeah, but if it's banging the thing, just know it's forgiven because it's because of a dog.
Exactly.
So it's allowed. Anywho.
So that's what dysentery is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you drink the UV from the bottom shelf, you get dysentery.
Right.
And they claim that that's what Tom... Hey, boy. They claim that's what Thomas had. 2 days... Well, first, Dr. Whiffer goes like, you know, cure this with some opium and castor oil.
Right.
Perfect combination.
Are you supposed to drink castor oil?
I don't think you're supposed to.
Then what is that about?
They also had opium as a cure for everything in 1883.
That's true.
2 days later, he dies.
Mm.
Surprise.
How mysterious.
He dies mysteriously and suspiciously.
And then the doctor did say he died of dysentery, which is crazy.
That's what's on his death certificate. It's right. Dysentery.
But alas, Thomas Higgins has a brother. The brother, Patrick, who is not associated with the boarding house. He is not the same Patrick.
All these multiple names.
Yeah, this episode, and it's going to get worse in terms of duplicate names, but we'll be as clear as we can be. But Thomas's brother, Patrick, he was extremely surprised that Thomas just dropped dead. Because, again, similar to John, who is 22, like, Thomas is only 45. He's in excellent health. Like, they've never had a reason to worry about him. He's always been strong. He's always fought off, like, sickness well. So immediately, Thomas wants to go and figure out what's happening. And the first thing he figures out is that Margaret, his new widow, she had profited 108 pounds, which is, again, like if 71 pounds in that era was about 7,000, then this is probably like 10,000. You looked up a more exact
quote. 100 yeah. pounds in 1883 in 2024 would have been 15,000 pounds today.
Pounds or American dollars?
15,000 pounds, 19,000 American US dollars. Ooh. She's making almost 20 grand on this thing.
That's crazy. So Patrick finds out, again, not only did she profit that much, but one of the reasons she did is because Thomas Higgins was insured with 5 different burial societies. So at this point, the sisters aren't even putting all their eggs in one basket. They're like spreading it around. Like, to get maximum payout.
Well, you know, none of them talk to each other.
Probably not. You know, they didn't have the World Wide Web. No one had phones. Like,
they're,
you know,
not matching records. Yeah. They don't realize that they have this man in every city society.
Yeah. So that's crazy. So Patrick immediately is like, something is going on deeper than just my brother dying and just this payout happening. So he alerts the authorities and he says, hey, you need to do a full on autopsy with this body because it's not dysentery. He's healthy. Like, figure out what's going on. So what the authorities plan to do is really sneaky and really brilliant, that they decide to literally interrupt Thomas Higgins's wake. Like, they go in the middle of it to take the body. So
buried.
Yeah. And all the mourners are like surprised. They're like, what the hell? Like, we're sitting here trying to like, honestly, they were kind of having a party. It wasn't even so much of a sad wake or like a sad gathering. Like, they said people were drinking and hanging out and having fun and like
that cheap whiskey.
Cheap whiskey, you know? And then the authorities come in, the coroner like gets the body, and then they start running tests and trying to figure out what exactly happened. And what happens when that coroner and the authorities come?
What?
Catherine leaves the house, like, flees. Catherine is gone.
Not suspicious.
Yeah. And obviously, Catherine's the older sister. She's not the widow of Thomas. Mm-hmm. But hello, you know,
why are you running?
Yeah.
Like, physically, literally running out of the house.
She went to the back door. So finally, coroner comes back and he says, yes, like, arsenic, which is a poison, was found in the autopsy. Mm. After the coroner came back and found the arsenic from the autopsy, the home was searched, naturally, because they want to find more evidence. And what do they find? They find, like, a tiny bottle that had remnants of arsenic in it. Mm. And then they found, like, it's called a market pocket, which was worn by Margaret. I'm not sure if that's, like, a purse or a, like, satchel or literally a physical pocket on her clothes.
Pocket, yeah.
But they found this. They found this pocket, and they examined that, and there were remnants of arsenic. Mm. So they had this this poison expert come in. His name was Dr. Campbell Brown, and he confirmed, yes, there was arsenic there. And immediately, Margaret, his widow, because she was there, was arrested. Catherine, on the other hand, was gone. So it took them about a week to find her, but they did eventually find her because she didn't leave the city. She was just like left the house. So at this point, there's enough evidence. The sisters are formally charged with the murder of Thomas Higgins.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but they had orders to exhume the rest of the bodies.
Yep.
Being the son, John, little Margaret, Mary, little Mary, like, get them all, Maggie, Mary, Margaret, all of them.
The two daughters and the son.
All of them. Mm-hmm. They found arsenic
in their bodies.
In all the bodies.
What's interesting about that, too, is I guess arsenic's kind of the preservatives. So the bodies weren't as decayed as you'd think for being in the ground.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
They were like more fresh than you'd think because of the arsenic in there. So they're like,
good to know.
Once they took them out, they're like, oh yeah. Yeah, pretty sure there's arsenic, and then the test confirmed that there was arsenic in their bodies.
Well, they were trying to figure out how the sisters even got the arsenic. Mm-hmm. They're both illiterate. They don't know how to read or write.
Right.
It's not like they're walking into a chemist shop knowing exactly what they need. There's no records of them in a chemist shop.
Yeah.
Or speaking to a chemist trying to figure out. They thought maybe it was rat poison.
They did.
Right, but where did that fall flat?
Well, they were like, oh, there's arsenic in rat poison, so maybe that's where they got it. But then they found no other, like, ingredients from rat poison in the bodies. There was no identifiable rat poison. So what they figured is there was also arsenic in fly paper, like what you use to stick and catch flies. So they found out that what you can do is actually put fly paper in water. And when you do that, the water has like this arsenic like buildup or whatever that goes in it.
Just think about that for a sec. Who the hell needs to kill flies so bad that the sticky paper wasn't enough? They want to kill them with arsenic as well?
I don't know. I mean, this is 1800s, man.
I mean, the doctor also
they had lead in the paint. They had who knows.
He also prescribed opium and castor oil for his upset stomach.
Right.
But yeah, it's just like really there's arsenic just in everyday household things. You think you'd kind of pull back on that, but okay, sure.
Let's just say cheap whiskey was the least of their concerns. Everything else was trying to kill them.
So they know how they got the arsenic now. All the dots are coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine tells her lawyer about 6 to 7 other deaths, not necessarily directly related that she committed murders, but other deaths that are of the same nature.
Right.
That other people have orchestrated. They're trying to pull from her name. So they're pretty sure the enforcement that this isn't just Margaret and Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
They think there's more of a network happening here.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to give them leniency by sharing those details, but she's pretty silent-lipped. All she said, she didn't tell this in trial. She only told her lawyer privately. There's about 6 to 7 other deaths that I know of. There's about 5 women who are a part of this network.
Yeah.
She kind of did a dirty for her sister. She kind of threw her under the bus a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. She named her basically with, you know.
Mm-hmm. She said essentially that there's a whole, like, burial fraud network. And who knows whether they call themselves that or other people named them this, but they called themselves the Black Widows.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know if it's themselves, but they were called the Black Widows. So of the Black Widows, there were, I believe, 4 poisoners, 3 insurers, and then 1, like, arsenic accomplice who secured the arsenic. So the poisoners were the 2 Flanagan sisters, so Catherine and Margaret. There was also another person named Margaret Evans, who they said kind of started the whole thing and was
instigator. Yeah, she was like the ringleader of it all.
Which we'll get into in a second.
Again, another Margaret. We apologize.
Exactly.
Not our story.
And then a Bridget Begley. So those people are the ones that actually did the poisonings. But then they said they had women on the other side who worked as, like, insurance agents, which I was like, that's very progressive of the 1800s.
I do appreciate that. They're also the ones who are probably totally cool with having the same guy in 5 different records of different societies.
Probably. So
they were just brushing things under the rug.
Yeah. So those women were Margaret Potter.
Sorry.
Another Margaret. Yeah. Mrs. Fallon and a Bridget Stanton.
Two Bridgets. Okay. In this story, we have 4 Margarets, 2 Bridgets, 2 Patricks, and 2 Catherines.
Yeah. Well, we'll name the next Catherine in a second.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I jumped ahead. I got excited.
That's okay. So then the arsenic accomplice, the person who, like, secured the arsenic, her name was Catherine Ryan. So yeah. So a lot of Margarets, a lot of Catherines. A lot of Bridgets and a couple Patricks.
Oh, geez.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Those Irish.
Yeah.
Gotta love them.
So Catherine came forward and said, again, because she was trying to be compliant and also, like, reduce her sentence. So Catherine said that, hey, Margaret Evans is actually the one who started this all because she murdered a mentally handicapped teenager and got paid out, like, from his death because I guess she was, I don't know if it was involved with or had a certain connection to the boy's father. So she probably, like, coerced the dad into, you know, doing the burial society payments, whatever it was at the time. And then she collected from that. So they said Evans was the one that started it because she was trying to get rid of this mentally handicapped boy. And then from that,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. From that, that's where how the network started is people saw, oh, look at these big payouts you could get.
That's messed up.
It is really messed up. But I mean, and again, whether that's true or not, we're not sure, but that's what Catherine said. She was trying to pin it on Evans.
And we don't, that's a good point. We don't know what's true because all of these women, it's just all allegations. Mm-hmm. They didn't have evidence for these other women.
No.
So really all of it fell on Catherine and Margaret Flanagan.
They did. And they even said Stanton too. Bridget Stanton, she was linked to 3 deaths that involved burial fraud. So again, so this whole time, Catherine's the one kind of pointing fingers and saying, well, here's this network. I'll name them all. Mm-hmm, here's mm-hmm. everything that they've done. You know, and there was other witnesses who kind of came forward and said, yes, I've actually seen different combinations of these women right before mysterious deaths. They even said when Thomas, I'm putting like air quotes around mm-hmm. this, when quote unquote Thomas Riggins was getting his insurance policy, they had like this insurance company supervisor come to the house to meet him. And he said there was a man who was not Thomas Riggins who posed as him. Oh, sorry. Yes, thank you.
You're saying Riggins.
Oh, yeah. No. You know, Tim Riggins, Friday Night Lights. So they came forward and said, oh, Tom Higgins, that's not him. It's an imposter. And the woman who posed as Margaret, his wife, was like some mystery woman.
The audacity. If this were to be in modern day times, could you imagine the scandal?
I know.
Right?
So a lot of shady shit going on regardless. Yeah.
1884, they had their trial.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I think the evidence all pointed in one direction. Both sisters were hanged together.
They were.
On March 3rd, 1884, at Kirkdale Prison.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bit of a spectator crowd. Like,
they did.
They were viral.
They were viral for the day.
They were viral for the day. They had about 1,000 people come and watch them get hanged.
And it was
and,
like...
And a priest. And a Catholic priest.
And a partridge in a pear tree. And they said that it was a snowy day. So, like, not the best weather, too. And people still wanted to come out and witness this hanging of the two sisters.
We were watching one documentary on this. And I kind of wasn't paying attention. So, maybe you were. But they
Sudafed.
Yeah. They were saying something about how... since the 1850s or so,
mm-hmm.
it was, or 1860s, apologies. Since the 1860s, the prisons had closed down public executions.
Right.
And for whatever reason, they opened it up at this time in 1884. So it was like kind of a big deal. Everyone wanted to get their eyes on the Flanagan sisters.
Right.
See them hang.
I wonder why they did that specifically. Like maybe to, again, I mean, like any execution to be public about it and kind of
sell magazines. Sell some newspapers
perhaps.
And media purposes.
But, you know, being like, hey, maybe we recognize that insurance fraud is now a bigger thing, so maybe we need to stop it. I don't know.
That's actually a good point, and that's yeah. That's typically why they would ever do a public execution is to make a point.
It's going a warning.
Going back all the way, you know, talk about...
The dawn of time.
Yeah, Tudor dynasty. Like, they were saying, don't go against the king.
Ancient
Egypt.
Gonna
happen. Yeah, all of it. It goes way back.
Right.
So, and I love this, shortly after their execution, Madame Tussaud, as we all know, the famous wax figures in London.
In London.
To this day, we can go and see Madame Tussaud's wax museum. They had wax figures of the Flanagan sisters.
That's pretty cool.
I'm sure they were total shit.
They're like the effigies. Well, you know, the women were older when they died, right?
They
were think they were... I mean, not that old women aren't cute, but like, yeah, they were getting on in years. I mean, Catherine was born in the 1820s.
Didn't we say at this time in Liverpool, the average lifespan was like 30 years?
Yeah, they said because of the conditions in Liverpool, like being 30 to 35 was generally the only,
damn,
the only life you had.
Found.
So I like the fact that when Higgins, when he died, he was 45 and people were like, what? He was
Higgins.
So... I said Higgins.
You did. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. When Higgins died, it was like he was so young and vibrant. They were surprised. His brother Patrick intervened. And I'm like, well, in this day and age, I mean, 45 is like an old man. But
I've never heard this story before.
Such a cool
story. I
don't
even know how he came across it, to
be honest.
I think
someone suggested
it.
It
might have
been
a suggestion.
Yeah. But this was a great one. I love anytime you have any kind of like larger conspiracy type of thing going on. Because, you know, individual stories are awesome. I love all of our victims of our execution episodes. But something about a network, it just speaks to me.
Well, and sometimes it's kind of fun when, I mean, they were murderers, right? They were serial killers. Yeah. They murdered an 8-year-old girl for money.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes these episodes can be a little bit, like, we have some excuse to be a little bit more lighthearted, because I do think that they were criminals versus some others when it is truly like, oh, they didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
These ladies were batshit crazy.
They were just looking to make a little money. I think they were entrepreneurs.
And there's a play.
Oh, so I didn't know this, and I've actually never seen the play myself. I know my high school put it on when I was there. I wasn't in it. Not that I auditioned. I did the musicals, not the plays.
Oh, okay.
No, but there is a play called Arsenic and Old Lace. And while I was researching this episode, I kept thinking of that because arsenic was mentioned so much.
Yeah, arsenic and old lace.
And I was like, oh, we should name the episode something cute, like punny, you know, arsenic and old lace. And then we watched a YouTube video and it was like, oh, you probably have seen the play, Arsenic and Old Lace. And apparently one of the two characters in that play are these older, like, women that are poisoning people. And they think they're loosely based on these two women, these two sisters, which I thought was hilarious.
I had no idea about that. And there's even some old classic movies that they've based on it, on that play.
Right.
Called Arsenic and Old Lace. And I kind of want to go back and watch that.
We should. Remember we did that one movie night? I don't know if we've ever talked about it on our podcast. But we had that movie night where we watched the 1940s Rebecca.
Yeah.
And, like, it was cute. We dressed up and, like, we had brandy.
We had little brandy and little, like,
we bought brandy glasses. Like, little,
yeah, we had brandy glasses and we had steak pies.
Yeah.
Meat pies.
So I think we maybe do an old school movie night like that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think Robbie's out of town soon if you want to. If I'm not sick this weekend.
I hope I don't get you sick. I'm really sorry if I do.
I think I'll be fine.
But this was, you took one for the podcast. We were already a week late in posting, like.
Well, we have a million views on the reel. I gotta do something.
So you took one for the team, and I really hope I don't give this. I'm kind of like trying to like talk. And if my voice is terrible, I'm trying to like sit back and not.
Why are you leaning so far away from me?
Because I don't want to. I'm at the tail end.
It's okay.
I'm on day 7.
I'll take it. I'll be fine. I think.
I won't touch you.
I'm sick.
You know what? I'll give you my list of shows to binge watch on.
Thanks. Appreciate you. I'll just...
I appreciate you too, my lady.
I'll just create the next viral video while I'm sick.
You know, I set the bar pretty high, so...
I don't know if we'll ever get to that again, but hey...
Don't say that.
A lot of this our reels just the beginning. Are doing excellent, and that's just a testament to you and all your hard work on social media.
Thank you. Yeah. Do you have any more final words of complimenting me?
That's it. Good night.
Okay, bye.